Christian soldiers marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Ah, yes, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Israelite brothers and sisters out there. Show is word for word. I'm Pastor Steve, and this show is for Wednesday, the 25th of January, 2017. We're in the book of Isaiah. That's Yeshayahu in the Hebrew, and we're going to be going into chapter 14 today. I'd like to get 14, 15, and 16 in. We'll see how far we get. Sometimes we have a lot of commentary, and it runs a little long, and we can't quite get a whole chapter in, but let's give it a shot, starting with chapter 14. This is verse 1. Because Yahweh will have compassion towards Jacob, and will yet choose Israel and place them in their own land, and the sojourners shall be joined with them. That's 3867, joined. And they shall attach themselves, 5596, to the house of Jacob. Now, these sojourners, 1616, are dwellers in the land of Israel with no inherited rights. Now, what's happened today? It's what happened back then, the mixed multitude, the other peoples, they attached themselves to the house of Jacob. But they weren't Israelites. Well, we have a bunch that have attached themselves in our land here and in Britain. They are bleeding us dry. that there are those that claim to be Israel that are not. Think about that. That passage has a lot of weight to it. Verse 2. And the people, 5971, that's speaking of Israel, shall take them away and bring them to their place, and the house of Israel shall possess them, 5157, upon the land of Yahweh for slaves. 5650, and maidservants, 8198, and they shall take them captives whose captives they were, and they shall rule over their oppressors. All right, well, who's oppressing us today? They're going to become, those that survive of them will be slaves to us. Okay, that's coming. They will be in subjection to Israel. They will no longer rule over us. We won't have these riots. We won't have any of the stuff that's going on today is going to be changed when Yeshua Messiah comes back. Verse 3, and it shall be in the day Yahweh gives you rest from your sorrow, 6090, and from your turmoil, 7267, and from the harsh 7186 service, 5656, that you were made to serve, in other words, being wage slaves to the usurers, the Jew usurers. This is future prophecy that applies today that I'm trying to show you. Verse 4, that you shall take up this proverb 49:12 against the king of Babel, because Babylon was going to have them in captivity, and now the Babylonian system has us in captivity. You see how it progresses forward and repeats? And say, how has the oppressor, 5065, ceased? The Madheba, 4062, ceased. We don't know what 4062 means. So I read it in the Hebrew. It's Madheba, M-A-D-H-E-B-A-H. And we don't know what it is. Verse 5, Yahweh has broken the staff of the wicked, 7563, and the scepter of the rulers. He did that back then with Babylon and Assyria when we went out from captivity all the way up into Europe, into dispersion, okay? Well, he's going to break the rule of our oppressors today. This is going to be a repeat of the wrath of Yahweh on the people that are doing ill and evil to our people, true Israel, the white Western European descendants. Verse 6, he who smote the people in fury, 5, 6, 7, 8, not withdrawing a stroke, in other words, showing no mercy, he that ruled the nations in anger is persecuted, 4783, and none, 1097, restrains, 2820. Okay, what's happening with the Jew Empire today? It's collapsing. And they hate us. They rule us in anger, try to kill all of us, white genocide. People are waking up and becoming Jew savvy, and the Jews are having problems again because of their evil actions. Nothing new under the sun, folks. Verse 7, the whole land is at rest and is quiet. They have broken forth, 6476, in a ringing cry. 7440, Israel's going to break forth, going to rise up when Yeshua returns. Verse 8, yea, the cypress trees, 1265, and some have fir, it can actually mean either, rejoice over you, and the cedars of Lebanon, since you are laid down, no feller has come up against us. And feller is 3772. That's one that cuts off. Verse 9. Sheol from beneath is excited, 7264, about you. To meet you at your coming, it rouses, 5782, the dead, 7496 for you. All the chieftains of the land, chieftains is 6260, it has raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. And 6260 literally is he-goats as leaders of the flock. And Sheol is the land of the dead and its inhabitants. Verse 10, all shall answer and say to you, are you also become weak, 2470, as we? Are you become like, 4911, unto us? And he's speaking to the oppressors here. Well, doesn't it say in the New Testament that the dead will rise first? All of Israel will be restored. On the day of Yeshua, the dead will rise first, and we will go against the enemy en masse. And we will have divine bodies, and they can't kill us. and we're going to slaughter them. Read 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. I keep telling people, read that. Verse 11, your pride, 1347, is brought down to Sheol, that's the land of the dead, with the music of your lyres. The worm, 7415, is spread, 3331, under you, that's like a couch. And the worms, 8438, are your covering, 4374. And 8438 is Tolia, and that is the Cossus elicus worm, and it's a source of scarlet dye. Verse 12, how are you fallen from the sky? 8061, Shining One, 1966. That's Halel as the planet Venus, Star of the Dawn. Son of the Dawn, 7837, that's Shakar. You are hewn down, 1438. To the ground, who prostrated 2522 nations. Okay, they're speaking of the King of Babel here. They have translated Lucifer for 1966. Okay. Prostrated here is as overthrew nations. But this also is a prophetic verse talking about Halel. That's the name of the Jewish God. That's who they actually worship. Okay? It's a dual meaning to this verse. Verse 13, because you have said in your heart, I will ascend into the sky. I will exalt my throne above the stars, 3556, of El, that's a divine being. I will sit upon the Mount of Meeting, 4150, in the far ends, 3411, of Safon, 6828. That also can be translated north, but it's Safon, and 6828 here is the abodes of the small g gods. And the Mount of Meeting, 4150, is the Oriental Mount Olympus. Okay, that's what they're talking about there. Verse 14, I shall ascend above the high places, 1116, of the clouds. I will be like Elyon, 5945, that is the Most High. Now, 6828, Safon, you can reference that in Job chapter 26, verse 7, and Psalms chapter 48, verse 3. Verse 15, yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the far ends of the pit, 953. Now remember, this has a dual meaning here. One, the King of Babel is going to be destroyed, and also Halel, he's going to be destroyed. verse 16. Those that see you shall gaze, 7:6-8:8, upon you and consider you, saying, is this the man that caused to tremble the land that shook kingdoms? Verse 17, that made the world, 8:3-9:8, like a wilderness. Now that's Tebel, that's the known world. And destroyed the cities of it, and opened not the house of his prisoners. Had no mercy. The devil has had no mercy on us, and we have been prisoners under his system for some time now. That's all going to come to an end. Verse 18, all the kings of the nations, all of them, lie in glory, every man in his own house. And house here is as a sepulcher, a burial tomb, okay, of a king. Verse 19, but you are cast forth from your sepulcher, 6:9-1:3, like an abominable, 8:5-8:1, shoot, 5:3-4:2, or branch, as the raiment of those that are slain, thrust through with a sword, that go down into the stones of the pit, as a carcass, 6:2-9:7, trodden down. Verse 20, you shall not be joined with them in burial, 6900, because you have destroyed your land and slain your people. The seed of evildoers shall never be called, 7:1-2:1, as remembered or proclaimed. Okay. Verse 21, prepare a slaughtering block, 4:2-9:3, for his children, for the iniquity of their fathers. That's a headsman's execution block. That they do not rise up, nor possess the land, nor fill the surface of the world with cities. For his children. Okay, who are his children? Who are the children of Halel today? Started out with Cain and went on from there. Who oppresses true Israel today but the children of Halel? Verse 22, for I will rise up against them, says Yahweh of hosts, and cut off from Babel the name and remnant and posterity and progeny, says Yahweh. All right, he's going to kill all of them. They're not going to survive the day of Yahweh. And Babel is the Babylonian system. Verse 23, I will make it a possession for the bittern, that's a bird, 7:0-9:0, or porcupine, and pools of water, all of their conquered territory, and I will sweep it, that's 2:8-9:4, with the broom, 4:2-9:2, of destruction, says Yahweh of hosts. And verses 1 through 23 all concern the king of Babel, but there's also a dual meaning in there, what he's going to do to Halel and his children. The fallen one. Okay, son of the dawn. Verse 24. Has sworn Yahweh of hosts, saying, surely as I have designed, 18:19, so shall it be. And as I have planned, 3:2-8:9, so shall it arise, 6:9-6:5. That is to make stand. Verse 24 through 27, you can reference Isaiah chapter 10, verses 5 through 34. Nahum chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, 19. Verses 1 through chapter 3, 19. And Zephaniah chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. That I shall break, 7665, Asher, that's Assyria, in my land, and upon my mountains trample him. Well, that came to pass. Then shall his yoke depart from upon them, and his burden depart from upon their shoulders. We were released from the Assyrian captivity. This is the plan, 6098, that is planned, 3289, upon the whole land. And this, the hand stretched out upon all nations. When Yeshua returns, he's going to rule the whole world. Not just here. Not just New Jerusalem. The planet. For Yahweh of hosts has planned. And who shall frustrate it? Yeah, I mean, you know, they've got all these guns. And they got this. And they got that. And they're going to try to fight against Yahweh who created the entire universe. Oh, please, give me a break. They don't believe. They don't know what's coming to poor fools. And his hand is stretched out. And who shall turn it back? Well, he did a number on the Assyrians. That came to pass, but it's also coming to pass in the future. See, Isaiah is a dual prophecy. Way back then and in the future, what's coming? He's got all kinds of messianic stuff in here. A little root beer. I needed a hit. Verse 28. In the year that died the king Achaz, this prophetic burden was. And verse 28 of chapter 14, you can reference 2 Kings chapter 16, verse 20, and 2 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 27. Verse 29, rejoice not all of Pelasheth, because the rod that smote you is broken, because from the root of the serpent shall come forth a viper. Come forth a viper. 6848. And his fruit a flying. 5774. Poisonous serpent. 8314. And verses 29 through 31, you can reference Jeremiah chapter 47, verses 1 through 7. Ezekiel chapter 25, verses 15 through 17. And Joel chapter 3, verses 4 through 8. Book of Amos chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. Book of Zephaniah chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. And Zechariah chapter 9, verses 5 through 7. Verse 30, and the firstborn of the poor shall be fed, and the needy shall lie down in safety, and I will kill your root with famine, and it shall slay your remnant. They're talking about the Philistines here. Verse 31, howl, O gate, cry, O city, all of Pelesheth is melted away, 4127. For from the north, 6828, a smoke, 6227, shall come, and that's as heralding a foe, and none separated, 909, from his appointed place. There was no straggler in the ranks of the troops, in other words. Verse 32, how shall one answer the messengers of the nation? That Yahweh has founded Zion, and the poor of his people shall seek refuge in it. Some of this stuff has come to pass. He smote the Philistines. And he's going through all these nations. Now we start chapter 15. And chapter 15, verses 1 through chapter 16, 14. You can reference Isaiah 25. Verses 10 through 12, Jeremiah 48, verses 1 through 47, Ezekiel chapter 25, verses 8 through 11, Amos chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, and Zephaniah chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. Let's get started. Verse 1 of chapter 15. The prophetic burden of Moab. Now he's going to preach against the Moabites. Okay? It's their turn. Pardon me. Because in the night, Ar of Moab is laid waste, brought to silence, because in the night, Kiyr 7024 of Moab is laid waste, brought to silence. Verse 2, he is gone up to Baith, 1006, and he means Yahweh. He's destroying all of this. And to Dibon, 1769, the high places to weep. Oh, pardon me, the he is not speaking of Yahweh, it's speaking of the king of Moab. I misread that. I have notes, and I missed one of the notes. I want to correct that right away. So, he has gone up to Baith and to Dibon, the high places to weep. Those are the pagan places of worship. Moab shall howl over Nebo and over Medeba, 4311. On all their heads, baldness, 7144, and all beards cut off, 1438. And shaving the head and the beard were pagan mourning practices. That's why we are not supposed to shave our beards or our heads. Verse 3. In their streets they shall gird themselves with sackcloth on the housetops, and in their streets all shall howl, weeping abundantly. And Keshbon shall cry, and Eleale, their voice shall be heard unto Yahatz, 3096. Therefore the equipped men of war of Moab shall cry out, his being shall tremble. In other words, they would just tremble in fear because Yahweh is destroying them. Another hit a root beer there. My heart shall cry out for Moab. His fugitives flee to Soar, T-S-O-A-R, 6820. And to Eglath Shelishiah, That's 5697 and 7992. Because by the ascent to Lukith, 3872, they shall go up it weeping, because in the way of Coronium, 2773, they shall raise up a cry of destruction. Verse 6. And verse 6, you can reference Jeremiah 48, verse 34. Because the waters of Nimrim, 5249, shall be devastated. Now, Nimrim is a wadi of wholesome water in Moab. It's going to destroy their water. Because the hay is withered away, the grass fails, there is no green thing. He was going to dry up their whole land. Verse 7, therefore the abundance they have made and that which they have numbered, they shall take away to the wadi of willows. Verse 8, because the cry has gone around the borders of Moab, the howling of it unto Eglaim, 97, and the howling of it unto Be'er Elim, 879, that's the well of Elim. Verse 9, because the waters of Dimon, D-I-Y-M-O-N, 1775, shall be full of blood, because I will bring more upon Dimon, lions upon he that escapes of Moab, and upon the remnant of the land. Now we go into, that's the end of 15. There's only 9 verses. Now we will go into 16. And this is a continuation of the pronouncement against Moab. Verse 1, send a he-lamb, 3733, to the ruler of the land from Selah to the wilderness, to the mount of the daughter of Zion. That means Jerusalem. And the he-lamb is as a tribute. Verse 2, for it shall be as a fleeing, 5074, bird cast from the nest. The daughters of Moab shall be at the fords of Arnon. That's the wadi of Arnon, where you cross over river fords. Verse 3. Bring counsel, do an umpire's office. 6415, that's Philelah, or judge's office. Make your shadow, 6738, as the night, 3915, in the midst of the noonday, 6672. Hide, 5641, the outcast, 5080. He that wanders about, 5074, do not reveal, 1540. 4. Let my outcast dwell with you, Moab. Be a covering to them from the presence of the despoiler, 7703. For the squeezer, 4160, that's as extortioner, has come to an end, 656. The devastation, 7701, ceases. The tramplers, 7429, are consumed, 8552, from the land. Verse 5, in mercy, 2617, shall the throne be established, and he shall sit upon it in truth in the tent of Dawid, judging and seeking justice, and prompt, 4106, in righteousness. Verse 6. We have heard of the pride of Moab, very proud, 1341, and that is a scribal error for 1343. So the proper number would be 1343, but they have it listed as 1341. That's an error on their part. I want you to note that. Very proud of his haughtiness, 1346, and his pride and his arrogance, 5, 6, 7, 8, but his boastings, 907, are not so. Verse 7. Therefore shall howl Moab for Moab. All shall howl for the raisin cakes, 808, of Kir Karasheth, 7025, that's the city of Karasheth. That's Kir, that's what that means. Shall you moan, 1897, utterly stricken. Utterly is 389, and stricken is 5218. Verse 8, because the fields of Keshbon languish, 535. The vine of Sibma, 7643. The masters of the nations smote down. 1986, smote down. The vine tendrils, 8291 of it, that reached unto Yazer, 3270. They wandered about, 8582, the wilderness. Her branches, 7976, are stretched out. They have gone over the sea. Now see, this is not speaking literally of vine tendrils. The vine of Sibma, speaking of people, seed line. Verse 9. Therefore, I will weep bitterly, 105.8, with the weeping, 106.5, of Yazer for the vine of Sibma. I will water you with my tears, Keshpon and Eliale, pardon me, because over your summer fruits and over your harvest, shouting, 1959, pardon me, that's Hadad, that's shouting of the foe over seizing the crops. Over your harvest, shouting has fallen. In other words, the invading army's going to take all the food. Verse 10, taken away is gladness and joy from the garden land, 3759. And in the vineyard shall be no ringing cry, 7442, nor shouting, 7321. Those are cries of alarm. The treaders, 1869, shall not tread wine in the winepress, 3342. Shouting, 1959, shall cease, 7673. Verse 11, wherefore my inward parts, 4578, that's me'ai, and that's literally bowels, and that is a figurative for emotions. My inward parts shall murmur, 1993, like a lyre, 3658. That's a musical instrument, L-Y-R-E, for Moab. And my inward parts, 7130, and that is Kerebi, and those are the inward parts of a man. That's a figurative seat of emotions, for Kir Karasheth. Verse 12, and it shall be when it is seen that has wearied himself, 3811, Moab, upon the high places, 1116, those are places of pagan worship. He shall have come to his sanctuary, 4720, to pray, but will not succeed, 3201. In other words, Yahweh is not going to help Moab. They are pagan worshipers. They are going to be destroyed. And this is about Moab at that time. And this will clarify it. Verse 14. But now speaks Yahweh, saying, within 3 years, as the years of a hireling, that's a hired servant, 7916, the honor of Moab shall become lightly esteemed, that's 7034, with all their great multitude, and the remnant very small and not mighty. He's predicting the destruction of what is in Moab. Moab was still in existence and was still conducting pagan worship on its high places. They disappeared as a nation. They just, the remnant mentioned, the remnant very small, they blended in with the Canaanites and became the racial soup that inhabits that area in the present day. That was it. They were done. He was going to destroy them, and he did. The Moabites, that was the end of that. Well, we're going to get into chapter 17 tomorrow. I'm recording this recording after the inauguration, and we've seen some violence. We've seen the libtards marching. We've seen the destruction by the anarchists. We're seeing all the bust-in protesters, and they're not succeeding very much at all. They're not as large in number as they claim to be. Oh, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. Well, they disrupted some things and closed some gates to the inauguration, but they really, you know, they broke a few windows. And you notice they didn't arrest very many of them. Just didn't, you know, they were wearing masks. Well, they threw some flashbangs and shot some tear gas and pepper spray and this and that and a few other minor things. But if that would have been white people doing that stuff, every one of them would have been beat down and gone to jail. They would have arrested all of them. They had enough cops. They had enough cops to do the job. But they arrest 100 or so. How many of those people were running around busting stuff? And you have to remember that any violation of any law in the District of Columbia is a federal felony. Jaywalking. Spitting on the sidewalk. That's the federal seat of power. And the laws there are different than the laws for the rest of the United States. And they didn't enforce them. They were told to stand up. Oh, you can't hurt these liberals. Oh, no. You can't arrest the libtards. You can't arrest guys that are busting windows. Can't arrest people that are chaining themselves to gates and not allowing. And I hate to use this term. The democratic process, in other words, freedom to access to the go to the rally, to the Trump thing. because they're operating in it as a democracy, not the republic it's supposed to be. And D.C. is a corporate state. They basically do what they want. They didn't arrest those people. If it would have been our people, oh, there would have been a hue and a cry, and every one of them would have been photographed, and the liberals would be up in arms and demanding that they be given life sentences and spend a year in the electric chair, whatever. There is a disparity in the law. It's like the old Animal Farm thing. Everybody is equal, but some are more equal than others. Under the communist government, it's a hands-off kid glove policy with these commie disruptors. It shows you who runs the system, folks. I mean, you got to be blind not to see it. You really do. It sticks out like a sore thumb, so to speak. And it's our thumb that's being bashed. It's sore. Among other things. I was sort of disappointed that the bikers didn't make more of a showing and clear out some of the areas, but they would have been arrested for exercising their civil rights. They would put them in jail. This is one of those mudbloods would have got in the way. They would have been the protected ones, the muds. And you notice that the so-called protesters were blacks and whatever, all dark. And there was a few ultra-liberal, femi, white hoes in with them, with their dark companions, race traders. That's what we're looking at. That's the armies of Satan, the Halel, okay? The evil ones. That's what he's going to use against us. They are going to be cannon fodder when it really breaks loose. When somebody snaps and it gets down to hand to hand, they're so smug in their protection right now. But what happens when the protection stops for them? What are they going to do when they actually have to fight against people that know how to fight? What are they going to do in their little chaining themselves to a gate? Are you nuts? What a stupid thing to do. Because guy with a baseball bat, I mean, you can't get away from him. And it's going to come to that, folks. People are disgusted. People have had enough. We really don't know what Trump is going to do. I mean, he just got in. And this is the Wednesday after the inauguration. We're going to see some movement, I hope, within the first 10 days of him taking office. They keep talking about the first 100 days. I have no faith in the government of man. Now, I had a glitch. Something happened last week on Thursday. A show that preceded my wake-up call sermon played twice for some weird reason. We don't know why. I was scheduled and had it in the slot, and it played an hour late, and everybody left. They had gone. So, wake-up call will be played. The one from last week, Trust in Yahweh, will replay this week. It'll play tomorrow night. Then I'm going to have a replay. I'll have a replay on Saturdays. So, you can look for that in the schedule, folks. It'll be listed. And it seems I have quite a few views on YouTube and TalkShoe, a few other things. People like the sermonizing because it's straight scripture. It's not like my word for word show here. I pick a topic and I give all the scripture verses and preach about current events and how the scripture of the past applies to today. I do a little bit of that here, but I really get into some details there, and it gets a little heated. Mainly, this show is a teaching show, so you can hear the scripture as it was written, and I give you lots of Strong's numbers and references so you can refer to stuff, and these get archived. And the show is succeeding because there is a segment of the population that really wants to hear accurate scripture. And I put a lot of effort into this, and I'm very grateful to Yahweh for giving me this opportunity to serve, and to the people that really want to listen and learn. That is very gratifying. I get a lot of emails and Skype messages and this and that. And I'm getting through to a lot of people, not as many as I would like. I would like to get through to all of Israel, but that's a dream. I can only let the Holy Spirit draw them in one by one. And I really appreciate those that are following along with these teachings. I appreciate you for caring enough about the scripture to take the time to listen to the show. Very, very much appreciated. Well, I'm coming down the end of the hour here. I've got 53 minutes in, and we're going to be doing Isaiah 17 through 20 tomorrow, and then on Friday we're going to be doing 21 through 23. We're going to be hitting Isaiah all the way through to the middle of February. We'll wind up on the 13th of February. With Isaiah, then we're going to get into Jeremiah. I'm trying to limit the chapters that I do each day so I can give sufficient commentary. The chapters today, chapter 16, was very short. And that's why I'm a little short on content today and have a chance to actually speak my mind on a few things. I'm watching the remnant grow. As it speaks of in these scriptures, the remnant, always the remnant, the small part of the whole, and the salvation of the remnant by Yahweh in the last days. Yahweh fighting for us, Yahweh destroying the enemy for us, because that's what it's going to take. It's going to take divine intervention to overcome the forces, the physical worldly forces that are arrayed against us with all their armament and weapons and technology and even the enmity of our own people against true Israel, the Judeo-Christian churches that hate us because we expose the lies of their false message. But we can't worry ourselves about the opinions of men. If Yahweh is with us, who can be against us? Who's going to stand against Yahweh? They're looking at us just as people, flesh and blood people, and they think they're just going to run right over us. Well, if we were only flesh and blood people, yes, they would run right over us. We are a small group as per the whole population. But we are going to have the divine being of Israel fighting for us. When Yeshua returns, it's going to be a bloodbath. And he's not coming alone. He's bringing his mighty messengers that they call angels. Well, that's a churchianity term. They're messengers. And a lot of them are messengers of death. Soldiers, divine soldiers, the army, the host of Yahweh, comes with him in flaming fire. Well, we won't be burned up in that. The tares will be gathered and burned. Those that are enemies of true Israel. You have to trust and have faith in that. And it's a hard thing, because in reality, all we really know is our physical lives here. Okay? I'm there too. The only life I know is in this body. But the spirit that is within my body has gone beyond it. And I believe on the word of Yahweh to the point that I'm willing to act and put my whole being into it. Because we are to love him with all our heart and all our being. And trust in him entirely. And even if I go down, I believe the promise that I will be back. The dead shall rise first. Well, okay, if you want to play it that way, then if they kill me, I'm an old man, I'm going to die anyway. Okay, I'm getting close to the end. I'm going to be 70, and I've led a wild and crazy life, been there, done that. And I'm so thankful that at the end, I really have been blessed by Yahweh, that he has saved me for eternity. Well, I'll talk to you tomorrow, beginning with chapter 17 of the book of Isaiah. And may Yahweh bless and keep you. Shalom aleichem, peace be unto you, all of Israel.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the